everybody, Zender here. It's Sunday morning. Must be, I don't know, 7:30 maybe. This is the seventh day of a seven-day fast. Yeah, I've been told that fasting is a great way to kill these cancer cells. So I've been 7 days without food. This is day seven, the morning of day seven. So I thought, what better way to celebrate than to run? So I started doing laps around the building, out to 17th Street, back around here. Anyway, each lap is around 0.8 miles or something like that. So I ended up doing six laps in 5.1 miles. Yeah, I ran 5.1 miles on zero food for 7 days. You know, the more outrageous it is, the more attractive it is to me to do it. I've been told that, you know, cancer hates oxygen. So, yeah, I've been pulling the oxygen in. Yeah, this hurts a little bit, but it hurts when I'm sitting down, too. It hurts all the time. Well, I take some pain meds and it settles down once in a while. Anyway, this is what it looked like yesterday morning. So I figure it looks the same way now, probably, just 24 hours later. But anyway, I went to a surgeon guy at the University of Miami. First, I'll update you a little bit. The surgeon at Cleveland Clinic, Weston, his photo in his profile looks like his senior photo. Like, the guy's young. He seems to me like a squeaky kid. He's the one that said, "This is inoperable." That's what he said. So it was kind of devastating. You remember that day? I got drunk that day. I said, "Devastating, man. Inoperable." Yeah. He said, "Your best bet is to get on immunology and chemo." I said, "Well, I'll get on immunology therapy for now, okay? Just take one step at a time, mofo." So, squeaky. So, I started the immunology. And I didn't tell you this, but after the immunology, Maria and I had an appointment with a... Is this a scary title or what? We had a meeting with oncology radiologist. It's like, oh shit. And it was a woman. I just pictured an Aunt B type woman coming in the room, a real Amazon, you know, like some harsh woman with just photons coming off of her fingertips. Like, "Here I am. You're mine now." But this beautiful woman came in with nice eyelashes. And very pleasant. Sense of humor, too. And she goes, "Well, can I look at your thing?" I said, "You can look at my thing if you're up to it. But my God, prepare yourself. I've seen it all." She looked at my thing. She said, "Okay." Then she has a nurse come in and bandage it up. This nurse was really funny, too. It was like, she was kind of like, remember Flip Wilson character, Geraldine Jones? Yeah, she was kind of like a Geraldine Jones character. She was doing my interview before the radiology lady came in, and she said, "I see the last place you've been is Kansas City." So I went to the Kansas City conference, as you know. I was a speaker right there anyway. My throat's a little, I should have brought water with me. What the hell's wrong with me? Anyway. She goes, "You went to Kansas City without telling me? You didn't offer me to go to Kansas City with you?" I said, "I tried to call you. I called you the day before." She goes, "That was you?" I said, "You got to pick up. When you know Kansas City's coming up, you got to pick up, even if you don't know the number." Anyway, we were starting on a Saturday Night Live skit, and poor Maria's sitting there going, "What the hell's going on here?" So me and this Geraldine Jones chick, we really clicked. But anyway, she's the one who rebandaged my thing, right? So then I'm fearing the worst. Like, I'm scared that this radiologist is going to say, "Mr. Zender, we're going to have to hit this with everything. We're going to have to radiate you today. You're going to have to get chemo, like, starting today. We're going to chemo you from now till midnight. So, and plus she's looking at my PET scan, which is scary. Like, she's looking at the worst of me, the inside of me, my most private being. And she says, okay, this is the worst. This is the worst, like, layer. And I didn't look. Are you kidding me? I don't want to see that shit. She goes, you know, I don't really think you need radiation right away. I'm like, what? She said, your shit. She didn't say shit. I forget what she said. Your shit. This kind of shit you have responds pretty well to immunology. And by the way, I had my first immunology infusion, and I had no reaction to it. You know, they gave me medication for nausea and vomiting, the 1-2 punch. I didn't have either, so that's good. So, this kind of shit responds well to the shit you're doing, so we might not need to radiate right away. So let's take it a couple cycles. I got to go to immunology once every 3 weeks, which is great because it gives Christ time to get back here. Buying time, you hear that? Okay, so, like, she says, and I mentioned to her proton radiation. I said, I don't want this photon radiation. I want proton radiation. But I know that you don't do that here. She goes, yeah, we don't do that here. She says, but they do it at University of Miami and up in Boca. I already knew that. I said, oh, good. So she was like saying, if you want to, if you need, yeah, I can see why you want that proton. It's very precise. Goes where you want it, doesn't burn on the way in, doesn't burn on the way out. I said, yeah, that's for me. That's for me. So, she was all for it. And I left there feeling pretty good. Like, oh shit. She didn't push, not only did she not push chemo on me, she didn't push radiation on me. I was wait a little bit. My favorite words, let's wait a little bit. So anyway, then 2 days after that, I had a appointment at University of Miami with this doctor, and I was there only to see if he could do the proton radiation instead of the photon. You don't want no photon radiation. The latest thing is proton, baby. Proton is my meat. So I was feeling good until he got in there. And he's a surgeon. He's an ENT guy. Ear, nose, and throat. Or eyes, nuts, and pterodactyl bones. I don't know. I think that's ear, nose, and throat. But he says, we can operate on this. I'm going, what? 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 He goes, yeah. I said, but Squeaky at Cleveland Clinic said he couldn't do it. It's too delicate. Ah, Squeaky don't know nothing. He said, we do this all the time. I said, it's a delicate operation, isn't it? I got a lot of precious real estate in there. He goes, yeah. He goes, but I do it, we do it. This guy looked exactly like Lionel Messi. Plays soccer. You know, famous soccer player, plays for Miami. But his club is Argentina, right? He's playing in the World Cup. Anyway, I like this guy. He shook my hand, none of this fist pump crap. He didn't have a lab coat on, he had cowboy boots. It was just super cool. He goes, you got a real problem. He was looking at it, he goes, you know you got a big problem. I said, yeah, that's what they told me, yeah. He says, let's go three immunology treatments. Not radiation, immunology. Let's see how you look after that. And see what they don't know. And I don't tell them. I got my secret program going on too that's also going to shrink the mofo. What you saw in that ugly picture outside was just outside tissue. This kind of effed up and dying and everything. But the problem is the what they call a tumor. You know, I hate that word, but what they call a tumor inside that, see? And he put his finger in my mouth. He's like, excuse me, sir. Put his finger in my mouth, pushed down. He goes, yeah, I can feel it. I said, you can feel it? I said, that hurt, by the way. Don't do that again if you can help it. No, he said, I won't do that again, but I can feel it under there. I said, how close is it to coming through my mouth? He goes, it's not too close. It's close, but not too close. I said, okay. I mean, he spoke in pedestrian language, you know, spoke in common English usage. Didn't throw any garbled gobbledygook industry lingo at me, you know. And I really liked him. And you go, so keep doing that. And then he says, if it shrinks a little bit, that'll help with the surgery, you know, it'll make it a little easier. Anything to make it easier. So he wants to see another CT scan, of course, after all this is done. And I plan on shrinking this mofo with the secret stuff I'm doing. I got a secret program, you know, secret protocol that I'm doing on top of the immunotherapy, right? So, you know, I mean, I got a problem. It's a life-threatening problem. He said that, you know. I said, Lionel, must you call it life-threatening? He goes, well, I mean, but I can operate on it. It's your best chance. Chance? Yeah, it's all. Take the shit out. He didn't use that exact wording, but I'll take the shit out. And then afterwards, you're going to have to bang it with this and that. We'll see what happens after that. Yeah, I'm not going that far ahead in the future. I'm just happy that I just ran over 5 miles after a 7-day fast, and I could go 5 miles more. But I'm not completely stupid, but it just felt good to get out, you know, do my thing. So I think that's the latest. I felt like shit coming out of there, really, because I was kind of happy with the idea of no surgery, because I know what surgery is now, and I know it's going to be a major surgery. They're going to have to do plastic surgery, and maybe, anyway, forget about it. It's going to be a bill. But, you know, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Are the evils thereof? I forget if our Lord got that grammatically correct. He should have said, are the evils thereof? He might have said, is, in which case it would have been a mistranslation, because I'm sure he got it correct in the Greek. I mean, he's the Son of God, you know? So anyway, I was bumming until yesterday when two beautiful believers, Eric and Stacy from North Carolina, came here for a day and a half to visit. They just flew down. I mean, I called them on a whim. I said, man, we could really use, Maria and I could really use some bolstering. And she had been through some of this same stuff, different place, same BS. And they came yesterday, and it was such a fantastic time of fellowship. And they really lifted us up. Here's a picture of us. I told them all about how I made the shows. And it's always emotional for me, because people can't believe it. But every show is a miracle, and I pray to God, and I just sweat and fret before every show, because I'm never on autopilot. I just enjoyed telling them about the thrill of speaking to the people of God, and they appreciate it so much. They watch the show every day. And here's a photo of us with the lovely, effervescent Maria. And look at that. I just love that photo. It's so intimate and so nice. So God gave us beautiful time after a really harrowing day. And so, yeah. This will be the intro to Monday's show, I think. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Grace and peace. The last thing I have to say on this message is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hello, everybody. Yes, from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, it is I, Martin.
Send it. Baby, I'm making a show. Sorry. Are you want to be on the show?
Look at this here.
Eric, what? Stacy, oh my gosh, I don't believe this. I got to Here, let me show you. Stacy and Eric, I thought they were going to the airport. Told me they were going to the airport.
Yeah. But
so what happened? They decided to surprise me?
No, they decided to come back to see your show.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a surprise. All right.
They're going to pay for this because I'm going to put them on camera.
Hang on. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise,
surprise. There they are. And the lovely Maria. They're, okay. This is, okay, folks, completely surprised.
Okay, let's see.
So, you guys are actually going to watch the show?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm flattered, actually. Okay. I already started. That's okay. Make yourselves at home.
Okay.
No chewing gum. No talking. There's some rules. No passing notes. You will be arrested. You're allowed to look at me. You're allowed to stare at me. People, there are several people who have watched me make my show in the past. And they're always nervous. Like, should I not look at you? Should I look at the wall? I said, no, I'm perfectly comfortable with being stared at. So if you want to stare at me, you're welcome to. They're taking a picture. Isn't it nice? Stacy and Maria are taking a picture of me. Okay, let's get back on track. This is a crazy show, full of surprises. Okay, there is going to be a scriptural topic here eventually. I know I took up a lot of time at the beginning, but the reason I did that is I wanted to explain my medical situation to you, because I know a lot of you are interested. Many of you are interested. Some of you aren't. I appreciate that, you know. But so you don't have to listen to the first part of that show. But I wanted to think of a creative way to get that information to you. And I went on that run this morning, and I was on the runner's high. And I said, you know, instead of sitting at my desk in show mode and explaining the medical stuff to you, which I hate, you know, I hate this whole topic, I'll just do it while I'm on my runner's high. So that explains the first 20 minutes of this show. So now I realize that there's not much of the show left, but I promise you to finish comments made by a certain commenter on one of my shows from last week. It was Wild Boar. He quoted somebody named, that I should know, Will Powell. I think he was a former associate of Dean Huff's or something. But the topic, of course, that we've been talking about last week is like the chicken or egg thing. Which comes first, salvation or faith? And this is a critical topic. So I'm going to continue because it's so important. And I won't be able to finish it today. Obviously, I've left myself short on time. And I have an audience now, which actually improves my performance. Actually, it's good to have an audience. So, but we're going to have to abbreviate the show today. Tomorrow, we'll luxuriate in this topic from start to finish. But the question, which came first, faith or salvation, is critical. Because it also involves the question, did Jesus Christ save the world at the cross or didn't he? That's the bottom line of this whole thing. Because the Christians, I'm just reviewing for those of you who have been following the show last week, the Christians tell us that unless you can find faith inside of yourself, independently of God's influence, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. But at the same time, they tell you that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. How can Jesus Christ be the Savior of the world and not the Savior of the world at the same time? That is their conundrum. They can't get out of it. They talk a big talk. You know them. They talk about, they brag about Christ with their lips, but their heart is far from him. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus saved everyone. Oh, then you say, then good. Let me decide if I want to believe that. Well, no, if you don't believe it, he's not your Savior. Is he my Savior or isn't he? And this is the trap they can't get out of. Here's the facts. I'll give you the facts. I'm going to continue reading this excellent writing by Will Powell, a guy I think I know, but I'm not sure I remember. The facts are that 2,000 years ago, God gave his son a task, and Jesus Christ voluntarily joined us on this shithole of a planet, and he was born in the shittiest place on earth, Nazareth. He became like us in order to bring us out of sin and death, and on the cross, he said, it is finished, and Will Powell, he brings up, like, how many times have I read, it is finished? Jesus saying, it is finished. Of course, I know what that means. But when Will Powell says it, and I'm going to read this, I promise you, it's so much more powerful to me. It is finished. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished, that wasn't a flourish. That wasn't just a line on a script. It meant something. What was finished? That should be the question you ask. And how can a man talk while dying on a cross anyway? I would be saying something, but it wouldn't be that. I would be, you know. That's not, he said it is finished. What is finished? We know.
Because the Apostle Paul says it in 1 Timothy. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So what was finished? He saved sinners. It was done, and it is a done deal. So what the hell are the Christians doing when they are telling everyone, you're not saved yet. You have to be baptized. You have to come to our church. You have to say this prayer. You have to sing this song. You have to sign a statement of faith. You have to do all these things. And if I do all these things, then will I be saved? Well, as long as you stop sinning. All these things. It's all a lie. Because you're already saved. Remember that? I'm just reviewing it. I can't say enough. It's so great. And it's so shocking. That the whole world is already saved. They're saved and they're secured. They've been secured by Christ. He bought them by his blood. And he did it independently of anyone's help. As if after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, after being tortured and humiliated, the Son of God, and going to the cross, as if now it's unfinished and he needs your help. As if after the cross, Jesus gets on television and said, I've done my part, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's up to you. My part wasn't enough. Yes, I went to the cross. Yes, I suffered terrible humiliations. They beat me within an inch of my life. I was crucified, stripped of my clothes, crucified naked in front of my mother with all the forces of Satan against me. But it wasn't enough because now it's up to you. Do you have what it takes to be saved? My God, that's the Christian message. It is a farce. It angers me. I have a righteous indignation against it. So does Wild Boar, and so does this guy, Will Powell. It is a sick message. And it, what it does, and I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this for 40 years. I still have new thoughts about it. It gives them the power. They now have taken the power of salvation away from the cross, away from what Jesus did, and said, he did his part. Jesus is great. We love Jesus. We pray. Jesus is great. We love Jesus. Oh, so great. But, okay, we'll tell you how to finish it. How do I finish it, Pastor Bob? Come to our church, and we will make sure that you finish salvation. Oh, my God. These people should be put to death instantly by God. Because it is a crime. It is a blasphemy against Christ's work. No Roman soldier slapped him harder than the Christians slap him when they imply that his death on the cross was not good enough, that it was incomplete, that it became a mere offer that you now bring to fruition. And every church has a different method. You go to one church, you have to be baptized. The other church, no, you don't have to be baptized, but you do have to sign a statement of faith. Well, you don't have to be baptized or sign a statement of faith, but you have to keep the Sabbath day holy, or you have to stop sinning completely, or, you know, they make a chart of your life, and if you don't live the way they think you should live, then they say, you know, you're probably not even saved. Jesus Christ would say otherwise. Everybody already has been saved, but not everybody's come to a realization of it. That's the key. That's the key that we have. That's the key of this message. I'm an ambassador of God telling you that Christ's work was enough. It was efficient. It was finished. Did I make that up? No. I'm quoting the man himself, Jesus Christ, from the cross. It is finished. He said it is finished. They say it's not. Jesus Christ on the cross said it's finished. Pastor Bob and these other assholes at all these other churches say it's not finished. Who are you going to believe? That's what they're saying. It's not finished. But they will never say that out loud. It's too honest. I've backed them into a corner, and I practically got them to admit it. But they have to admit in the end that, okay, Jesus Christ didn't do it. I actually got a guy to admit this at a Bible study. I was backing him up against the wall with this hypocrisy. I said, did Jesus Christ finish the work of salvation, or do people have to finish it by going to church? Jesus Christ finished it all. Then why are you asking this guy to do this and this and this to be saved? You just told me Jesus Christ saved. He's a savior. He's your savior. But you're telling these people, well, you know what? I got this guy to admit in front of everybody. I said, no, I remember now what I said. I said, Okay, if you're saying it's up to these poor people to finish the job, Christ, I said, what percentage? Yeah, I brought it down to a percentage. I remember this now. I said, what percentage are you going to take away from Christ? Like, he did what percent? And the rest of it is up to the person. He was sweating. You can see visible drops of sweat coming from his brow. People tried to bail him out. Somebody said, oh, I'll get the coffee. I said, sit down. No, everybody be quiet. We're going to let this guy boil in the juices of his own hypocrisy. And this guy, I'm the only guy that would have done this too. Because, I have a righteous indignation against these people. Because they don't tell people the truth. I tell them the truth. It's done. It's finished. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to believe it. And it's still going to happen for you. If you believe it, great. Then it becomes practical. Then it becomes something that makes you happy, something you can think about. It's a practical then, once you believe it. But believing is not necessary. Otherwise, it is not finished. This guy ended up admitting that, okay, Jesus did 99%. He actually then had to admit that Jesus Christ did not finish the job. I got him to confess his hypocrisy. It's very rare to get a Christian to actually confess how sick and demented and blasphemous their teaching actually is. And I think he was stunned by his own confession. I said, would you please say that again? Everybody was nervous. I was loving it. The guy was ready to kill me. He said, okay, Jesus Christ didn't finish salvation. Okay, I just want you to think about that on the way home. Oh, you were saying we're going to have coffee? Great. I told that guy, think about what you said on the way home. It's not complete. Because that's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. Is it complete or is it not? So when I start reading the details of this gorgeous writing by Will Powell, it all centers around that. I didn't plan on doing that magnificent introduction, but I have an audience here. I just kind of, and I'm thinking like, I don't know. Like, I need to make it really plain. And, I've been saying the same thing for 33 years, but I always say it in a different way. And I say it with different amounts of passion. Sometimes I'm a little down. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm going through the scripture. Sometimes I'm just talking off the top of my head. And sometimes I have three beautiful people sitting in the room watching me. And for some reason, that gave me something to maybe say it in a way that I've never said it before. So if I've said it in a way I've never said it before, that helps somebody out there to see the hypocrisy, to see the black and white. This is a black and white issue. This is not, there's no area of gray here. There's no middle ground. What does the scripture say in the unveiling? Jesus Christ says in the unveiling, I wish you either hot or cold. Either be hot or cold. Anybody who's lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. And that's only temporarily. Temporarily. But people, of course, not everybody gets the glory at the same time. There are judgments. Of course there are judgments. I believe in the Great White Throne judgment. I believe in the second death, which is the lake of fire. I believe in all the judgments. You could bring me a judgment in the scripture. I believe it. The difference is, they make it eternal. It's temporary. Judgments are temporary. They're remedial. It's educational to teach people to change their minds, right? Some people come to Christ by different routes. Some people just need a little nudge. It's like, boop, here's a scripture verse. Boop, here's a little guy in his spare room in front of a green screen giving you a scripture. You believe it? Boop. Oh, great. That's the easy way. Other people need judgment to take them out of their world. And, oh, my God, now I see the truth. All you have to do is go to MCTV. Yeah, I thought that guy was crazy. Well, no, he actually wasn't. He was telling you the truth. I didn't know that. It was too funny. It was too crazy. I don't know. I didn't like the way he did his show. Just too bad. If you could have listened to him, you would have avoided this. So, judgment will serve the same purpose as this show. Only here it's a harmless little fuzzball bringing you the truth. Then it will be God, like, maybe like, but it's all in love. All judgment comes from a place of love. Why? Because God is love. Simple. Very simple. God is love. But it hurt. Did your parents sometimes hurt you? Mine did. But it was in love. They disciplined us. Parents discipline. A good parent will discipline you. A bad parent will let you do your own thing. I want to eat M&M's for breakfast. That's fine. Get out of here. Or, I want to eat M&M's for breakfast. No, you're going to eat your oatmeal, sit down, and strict rules, judgment, okay? And the kid, it's good, it's good, it's good for you, good for you. God's judgment, always good, always good. Brings you to a place of understanding. And in the end, everybody lives happily ever after. This is the end of the story. And this isn't some wish of a teary-eyed grandmother. The end of the story is good. Everything ends up well and good. Everyone ends up with God. And this isn't some wish of a teary-eyed grandmother. Oh, I hope everything works out. This is the declaration of the Word of God correctly translated. Stay tuned tomorrow. I got more where this came from.
Yay!
Oh, well, thank you. It's too much. It's too much. Okay, well, it's too much. Well, okay, it's not too much.
Very good.
That was wild.
We got to see it live.